Welcome to episode 487 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy and Donna. And we have fellow Outlander agent Stacy to join us tonight. Yay. She had an opportunity to sail on the Mexican Riviera itinerary and is here to tell us all about it. So let's get started. Welcome back, Stacy.
Hi. Thank you, George. I'm glad to be here.
It seemed like it wasn't that long ago. We were just talking to you about Aruba.
I know, right? I don't know. It's time for another vacation already.
There you go. So why did you decide on this particular itinerary?
So I think a little bit about what you just said. Actually, Aruba was our last vacation. We spent a week there, very tropical, warm, beachy. But, you know, January is like we kind of wanted to get away again. And we had cruised the Caribbean a lot, so and just gone to Aruba. So I wanted something a little different. I had never cruised from the West Coast. We have clients who are, you know, on that side of the country. I'm in, you know, the East Coast. So I thought it would be a good idea to check it out, see what it was like, and see what the experience was and go to new ports I had never been to. So, you know, for those people who are starting to maybe say like, I've been there already. I've done that one already. So it's something a little different.
So the itinerary actually says that you start in LA. Is it really LA or is it Long Beach?
It's Long Beach. It is.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, the port experience there was a little different. So just, you know, if we want to start there just for a moment, you know, when you go down to your Port Canaveral or your Miami, I haven't been to the new port at Galveston, but, you know, you've got these really big ports. This port is kind of small. I mean, it isn't a big, huge working port of Los Angeles, near Los Angeles, but, you know, we got dropped off at the front and I'm used to the porters just there taking your bags. It was a little more confusing there because it ended up you got in a line and then they were taking your bags, like you brought your bags up and then gave them to the porters. Now, and I don't know if that's because it was a busy time when we got there, but so that was a little different. Took just a moment, but you know, we're like, okay, stand in this line, no problem. We'll stand in this line. Gave our luggage and then went right on in. And now once we got in, I mean, we were on the ship within about 10 minutes, maybe tops. So
that's nice.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. So you sailed away. And what was your first port?
Our first port was Cabo San Lucas. And because of the time of year, I will say we did have some kind of warm weather, but it wasn't like pack my swimsuit type of cruise for us anyway. We weren't really looking for the sitting on the beaches. We wanted to experience some of the culture of Mexico because I don't feel like, you know, we've really done that. So Cabo San Lucas, right on the tip of the southern part of the Baja Peninsula, it was beautiful. We got there, and the thing we decided we really wanted to do there was a whale watching tour. The humpback whales this time of year are down in the warmer waters of Mexico. This particular, I don't really want to call it a pod because we were told that they don't really live in, they're kind of independent animals. They don't live in pods or anything. But the whales that come down to Mexico come from Alaska. And so this time of year is a really good time to be able to view them. So this was an experience that I missed in Alaska. I didn't see a whale in Alaska. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can see them in Mexico.
Oh, I guess we're going all the way down to Mexico to see whales.
When they're on their vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
To the warmer weather.
Yeah. So I ended up doing a tour separate from the cruise ship. It was a small group. There were seven of us plus the captain of the ship, and then a marine biologist who came along with us to tell us about the whales. We took off. Of course, we took an opportunity to take pictures of the famous arch there at Cabo San Lucas, and then started heading out to sea. Well, not long though. They were like, "Oh, there's our first whale." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Like, I've been on two whale watching, didn't see anything, and like within 5 minutes, we're like, "I see our first whale." Of course, there were a lot of little boats out there, kind of following, very respectful of the whales though. But we ended up seeing at first like one, and first you hear the blowhole like, and then they'll say like 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and so you all look, of course, and the captain of the boat's trying to get us as close as they can, and then you would see the backs of the whales come, and then if they weren't going to dive down, you would not see their tails. So you would watch and you just immediately see their backs. But then when you'd finally see their tails, we were told that's when they're ready. They're diving down, and then we might not see them again for about 7 to 10 minutes even. So we followed that one for a little while. Then we kind of took off somewhere else. And after a while, we saw a female and a baby. And so they were like side by side, saw them a few times, and, we'd see the whale, see them dive down, see their tails. Then after a while, we saw another group that they believed to be, we believed it to be a female with two males side by side, because we were told this is their breeding time. And basically the males will compete for the attention of the females. And so whichever of the males, I guess, either had the strongest endurance, like would follow her the longest, or sometimes they will fight one another kind of like, because there'll be scars. Like she pointed, the marine biologist who was with us pointed out, like, that looks like a male because look at the scars. That's usually the males. I mean, we were close enough too, where we could see like the barnacles on their tails and things. So, wow. I mean, that was an amazing experience. So, I'm glad we signed up for that tour, and
it sounds like you went at exactly the right time.
It was amazing. I'd give up a day on the beach anytime to have been able to see that. So that was really cool.
Do they do the that type of feeding where they get in a circle? Which is, are they the humpbacks that do that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you can see the birds flying around, and then they like all come up at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Now that I don't know. Okay. They didn't mention that. And so we were out there for about 2 hours, and we kept seeing them. And of course our guide was taking pictures. We were taking pictures and video. Then as we were heading back, after about a little over 2 hours, we started heading back to the port, to the marina. And the marine biologist used a device that she dropped down in the water. And she said, sometimes we can hear the whale song. And of course, I was a little skeptical because, of course, she puts it down in the water and we hear the whale song. And I was like, okay, it was really amazing. I mean, it sounds just like you hear the recordings of the whale. So I was like, so I'm on my phone, like on the side, Googling, like, is there a device you can hear whale song?
Well, sure enough,
you can. What's that?
Listen to the skeptic.
I know, I was the skeptic, but I think it was real, and it wasn't just like, okay, now we're going to play the recording for the tourist of the whale song.
Well, they have to record it from something. I mean,
True.
I mean, it exists. it's a real thing.
I just wanted to make sure it was these Mexican whales that we were hearing. But that was really neat. So we got to hear that for a while. And then, then we headed back to our port, to the port. And I will say that was our, the only other thing we did while we were in Cabo was kind of walked around the port just a little, because the place we had to meet was, of course, where our, maybe I should point out too that Cabo is a tender port for the ship. for Navigator of the Seas, we did have to tender. There was one other cruise ship there. It was a Carnival ship, and they had to tender. So, if that's an issue for anyone, we did have to make sure we got tender tickets. We wanted to make sure we were one of the first to get off because our excursion was like at 2 o'clock. We arrived like at 1 o'clock.
Oh yeah.
So just, be cognizant of that. If you do book something off the cruise line, and it's a tender port, but, it looks like there were a lot of bars, a lot of restaurants, some hotels right there at the port. We saw sea lions. There were sea lions, just like on the, the piers.
Yeah.
So that was fun. They were just kind of making noise or just kind of laying there.
They lay around all over the California beaches too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Yes. Always there. Yeah.
Mooching for some fish.
Yeah. It's definitely a different landscape from, a lot of the Mexico Cancun stops or anything around the Yucatan Peninsula or anything like that. It's, where it's flat. These, you do see the mountains, the hills. So it's really beautiful. So then we went back to the ship and we were ready for our next stop.
And did you go next? Oh, go ahead, Sandy.
I was just going to say, I'm looking at the itinerary and it looks like you had a day at sea before you got to Cabo. So it kind of like you get to Cabo and then keep going south, or do you like go far south and then keep going back up?
So So we, you start, near LA at the Long Beach port, you sail down along the Baja Peninsula and then you hit for a whole day. And then the next afternoon, we got to Cabo San Lucas, which is on the very tip of the Baja Peninsula. In fact, she showed us the one rock on our tour. Like, this is the very tip of the peninsula, this Land's End. And then it connects it's the Gulf of California and the Pacific Ocean. So we were, like, right there. Now, we never went into the Gulf of Mexico. Not Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of California, because we sailed in the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
And then, our next stop was at Mazatlan, which is on the mainland of Mexico, almost directly across from Cabo. So we kind of went to the Gulf of California, like at the very, like where, straight across from Cabo over to Mazatlan.
Okay, cool.
Flashbacks to the Love Boat.
Yeah.
Because that was always their two stops.
Right.
And
Puerto Vallarta, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no, they went to Acapulco too.
They did also go to Acapulco, yes. Our next stop was Mazatlan. And at Mazatlan, we did not do a tour. We decided instead we were just going to kind of tour on our own. So when we got off the ship, there was, it's not like a huge port. You kind of get off, there's some, a few little like stalls, I guess, selling things that you could purchase. You walk through a little area. And then when you walk out, of course, people are trying to sell you tours and get you taxis. But, we kind of waved them off and we actually, we're looking forward to a walk. It was actually a beautiful day and the temperatures had gotten up to about in the mid 70s. I will say this wasn't a cruise that was, you were really warm. So it was, if you wanted to kind of be a little warm, but not hot, if you don't like hot, it's a good, great place to go. We walked to like the middle of town. So it was nice. We just took a stroll, took in some of the sights. There was a cathedral. We didn't get to go into the cathedral. But really it was I felt safe. Like we walked about a mile and I would say it was probably round trip, almost 3 miles, but they, from the port to the downtown, there's like a color strip to follow. So basically you follow this blue strip all the way to the downtown square. You can't get lost. There's lots of little shops and art galleries. There are coffee shops and a few souvenir shops along the way. In the main square, lots more restaurants that you could visit. So we didn't really plan a lot for that day, so it was kind of just a kind of a casual day for us, down day.
Cool. Was it just you and your husband, or did you have friends go on this too?
It was just the two of us, and it was kind of a working / vacation because I was able to work some. I will say the Wi-Fi worked pretty well on the ship this time, so I was able to work some.
Nice.
And I know we've done podcast on Navigator this season. We're not really talking a whole lot about that, but I just put in one little word. My husband and I ended up getting a junior suite this time, and it was the aft facing junior suite. And so our balcony was larger than the average just balcony room. I will say we used it a lot more than we normally would. Even like when we were in port, we'd sit out there on our lounge chairs. Loved the view. It was great. I would definitely do the aft facing rooms with the balcony if I ever had the opportunity again.
Did you see any whales?
I did one of those on Jewel of the Seas, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
They are huge.
They are nice. I mean, I've never stayed on a balcony that we actually got the loungers. So that was I sat out there and worked one day with my laptop on my lap, and it was nice.
That's awesome. Were you able to see whales from the cruise ship or just on your whale watching cruise?
No, that's a good question. I did not. However, the captain did make an announcement as we were coming into Cabo and saying that people were reporting that they had seen some whale action and, kind of let people know what side of the ship so that people could go look.
Cool. Nice.
All right, and where did the sailing take you next?
And then our last port was Puerto Vallarta. Puerto Vallarta was, I would say it looked to be more of, I got the impression it was a little bit more of a busier city, bigger city. Like right by the port, there was like a very modern shopping mall. There was a, albeit small, it was a Sam's Club right there. I heard some of the employees for the cruise ship say like, oh yeah, I was able to get off and go get my stuff at Sam's. that must be a big stop for them to replenish whatever supplies they need.
Nice.
But so there are beaches you can go to, and it was it turned out to be a beautiful day that day. Started off cool. Every morning was cool. Like our lows were in the 60s. The highest high we had was maybe 80. We were packing little jackets and stuff. But so for Puerto Vallarta, somebody had suggested to us that we get away from the city and try to do an excursion that like got you out into what they would say like real Mexico. And I really was anxious to do that because like I said, one of the reasons I wanted to do this particular itinerary was, not really for the beaches. It was to maybe see a little bit more of the culture. So we took a tour. It was, I think altogether almost a 7-hour tour. We did this tour through the cruise line. We left, one of the first, when we docked in the morning about 8 a.m., we got out and took a coach. No, it wasn't a coach. I apologize. I'm sorry. It wasn't a coach, which surprised me because even though it was a Royal Caribbean cruise ship tour, there were, I think, 13 of us in one of the like Sprinter vans and another about 12 or 13 in another Sprinter van. So that was as large as the group was, but even then they split us in two. So it felt like a much smaller tour, which was good. Cause I don't know that the coach buses that where we end up going that I would have felt as comfortable. We went up some windy roads and into the mountains. So
That's probably why they did it.
Yeah, which is funny. The tour guide was really great. Was telling us stories, but evidently this village that we ultimately ended up in the Sierra Madre Mountains was called San Sebastian, and it dates back to the 1600s. But he said, I think it was about a decade, last decade was that people could actually drive there. Like, well, you could drive there, but he showed us remnants of the road that people used to have to take to get to this village because it was pretty remote, like these little roads around the mountain. And he said, yeah, people basically, you know, if you wanted to go there, it would take all day, like a 7-hour drive.
Wow.
And he goes, or you would fly there and land on a little strip that they had, a little landing strip they had out there. So they built modern road. They built a bridge, basically this wonderful bridge that allowed people to make the trip much, much easier. So along the way, of course, he told us stories and about the history. But our first stop was at a coffee I guess you would call it like a plantation or coffee farm where it was a small operation, nothing huge, but showed us the coffee plants, how they take the coffee, how they roast it. We got to sample the coffee. And then showed us how it was is very organic. It's not like they were pruning these coffee I call it a bush. It was more like a tree, but I know I've seen coffee being grown more like on a bush. So that was very interesting. Then we left and we went to, where'd we go next?
Did you get to try the coffee?
We did get to try the coffee. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, we did sample the coffee and it was good. And then there was some that had like a cinnamon in it. That was good as well. We drank it just plain, which is not the way I'm used to drinking my coffee. And even I thought it tasted good, but we found it to be very interesting. Then we got back in the vans and we drove up to the little town of San Sebastian. And San Sebastian, like I said, dates back to the 1600s. And it is, it's like what... I guess my first impression was almost like the old Westerns. You see these little Mexican towns, and that's what it reminded me of. Like cobblestone streets, like there was a cathedral, well, a church, I won't call it a cathedral, church, but it dated from the 1880s. We couldn't go in when we first got there. There was actually a funeral going, being done in the church. So we had to be respectful, of course. But the whole village was getting ready for a festival. So that weekend they were going to have the San Sebastian Festival. And so they were decorating, they were putting up in the town square, they were putting up like risers for the concerts and for all the events that were going to take place. And then, you know, the little like banner flags that you might see, I don't know, I've seen them in Mexican restaurants that are the cutouts. They were flying everywhere. They were all red and white and crossed all the streets around the town square. They were beautiful. I wish we could show pictures on this podcast because I took so many pictures because they were so cool. But we enjoyed a lunch. They hosted a lunch for us. We had margaritas. We had corn tortillas with cheese and with grilled vegetables as an appetizer. Then we were given a kind of like grill. It was like grilled steak and grilled vegetables for our main course. Also a salad as an appetizer. And then we had a dessert that was, it was almost like what we would think of as like cornbread, but it was sweeter and it was, had like an icing on top. So, again, it was very good. And then we were given some free time to wander about the village on our own for a little while. Then what did we do next? Oh yes. So then, after the free time, we did have to get back in and leave, which was sad because it was, like I said, it was just such a quaint, quaint village. It wasn't like a touristy, attraction. So I felt like it was more authentic. Although I will say, I bet over the weekend, they were expecting people from all the villages to come to these festivals. And they were saying, yes, there might be up to 3,000 people. I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
I think nice. Only less than 800 people lived in and around this village. That was very low population.
So it almost quadruples.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But then on the way back, we did get to stop then at a tequila distillery. And again, it was we got to learn a little bit about tequila, which I like to drink tequila, but I didn't know much about it. So as we were driving, I noticed a lot of the blue agave what the tequila is made from, mm-hmm. all over. So there was the blue agave, but then at this certain distillery, they were saying that they also use the green agave. And I guess the green agave is, at this distillery anyway, they collect the organic. They don't use the insecticides, and actually they use wild agave. So they taught us a little bit about the process of making the tequila, which I didn't realize. I knew it came from the agave, but I kind of thought it had to do with the leaves of the agave, and it's not. They actually just chop all the leaves off and use what they call the pineapple. It looks like a pineapple.
Yes.
Yeah. So they have to cook it down and then they distill it. And that was very interesting, and talked about how the difference between the mezcal and the tequila, and how the mezcal was just considered moonshine.
Also mezcal is smoked.
Yes. Yeah. Very.
Did you bring some tequila home?
I brought a little bit. We didn't go overboard and get a whole lot, but we did buy, they had some flavored tequilas, which I thought were really cool. I'd never really had a flavored tequila. I brought home just the mini bottles. Nice. The gentleman who owned the distillery was the one who kind of gave us the tour at the distillery. And just so picturesque. It reminded me of almost going to a winery in Northern California, with just the scenery of the mountains in the background. And we were outside tasting the tequilas. And so we really enjoyed that. So then on the way back, of course, the tour guide was like, I'll just, he was a funny guy. He's like, I think I'll just stop talking, let y'all have a little break for a while now. So we made our way back down the mountain and back to the port. So that was that tour. Again, I'm so glad we did it, because I really felt like we saw something that I wouldn't see if I had done a cruise, on the Western Caribbean or something of that side of Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds unique.
You're just getting all these new experiences this year.
I am.
Well, this is a new year.
I say later.
Well,
later.
This was late last year. So.
Oh, wait, this cruise?
Yes.
Oh, and it was in January. So
it was this January. It was kicking off a new year.
Yeah. And I know it's a whole different subject, but talking about experiences is in March, I'm going to go swim with the manatees in Florida. So I'm really excited about that.
You need to hug them and roll around with them.
And make sure you wear really, really warm clothes, because
they give you wetsuits for that.
You need it. Yes. Oh.
I love that side note. I can't wait to hear about that.
I know. I'm so excited.
That's cool.
So then we had, then we had two sea days on our way back from Puerto Vallarta back to Los Angeles. I will say that the getting off the ship was a breeze. We were off no time. We were, because we were using the Royal Caribbean transfer to the airport. We got off pretty early. We were one of the first groups, and it was very organized. I'll say they just were like, yeah, just go here. Guy was putting our luggage on, you know, got to our Delta terminal. He got our luggage off, and it was a breeze. So
I think it's good that they have this ship like pretty much permanently, right? I mean, it's out of LA.
It is. Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good option for this kind of cruise too.
Yeah. See, the only other cruise ship we saw besides the one, we saw that Carnival ship. Oh, when we were leaving, there was a Regent Seven Seas ship.
Ooh,
in Port also. I don't think we saw any other cruise ships, which was nice because, you know, again, it just wasn't crowded. I know this time of year, you know, it was right towards the end of probably vacation for families. We left on the 5th of January. No, I'm sorry. January 8th. I was a little surprised. There were probably more families than I would have thought, thinking the kids might be back in school. But there were still quite a few kids on board.
They do 3 and 4 nights too, I'm seeing. So that's
they
cool
do.
Option.
They do. Yeah. And I will say that, you know, again, for the person who's like, you know, we've done Florida so many times, and Dave and I went to Disneyland for a couple nights before. So it's an alternative. You could go to Disneyland or you could go to Universal Hollywood, and then do a short cruise or do a long cruise, depending on, you know, what you wanted to do. But there is a direct flight from RDU, so that was nice, to LA. Nice. So depending on where you live, it might be a little harder to get there. But
well, LA is pretty easy to get to, though, I think. From
Yep.
All right, great. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Once again, we'd like to thank Stacy for coming on to talk about her cruise. On behalf of Sandy, Donna, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.